Well, if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to welcome those who are watching online. If you have a phone or an iPad, go ahead and flip over to this wonderful chapter on the subject of love. We've been talking about 1 Corinthians 13 for the last several weeks, and I want to give a very gentle and short review before we focus in on our text this morning, verse 5. We have said in our study that love, real love, is a verb of action, not an adjective of emotion. As a Christian, your concept of love should be different than the way the world thinks about love. The world will tell you that you fall into love because your feelings have been captivated, they've been moved, you're energized in your emotions. Whereas the Bible says, you must climb into love. It's work. It's an action. And then we have seen that Jesus said, love is the mark that we are genuine followers of Him. In fact, in John 13, 35, Jesus said to His disciples, by your love for one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples. 1 Corinthians was written by one of the early followers of Jesus. His name was Paul. And about 20 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, Paul lived in the city of Corinth for a year and a half. And he fellowshipped and worshiped with other followers of Jesus in that city of Greece. He became so familiar with them that he knew there were some problems that were beginning to erupt in the church at Corinth. So after he left and went to Ephesus, he wrote a letter to the Christians in Corinth, and he says, after reviewing some of the struggles they have had, I want to show you a better way to live. Now, let me put that in context. If you're in a marriage and it's struggling, or you've got friendships that are, you know, falling apart, you've got family animosity, or there's problems at work, all right, I want to show you a better way to live. Paul tells us this better way in chapter 13. He says he's going to show us the better way, the last verse of chapter 12. So 1 Corinthians 13 is a better way to live. Let me pause right there. Those of us who grew up in evangelicalism, we were probably taught that being a Christian is coming to faith in Jesus, believing that He's the Son of God, that He lived the life we should have lived, He died the death we deserved to die, He conquered sin and death, our sins, which He bore on Himself, He conquered our sins and death in the resurrection, and now if we will believe on Him, all of our sins are forgiven by God, and we have the gift of eternal life. We've been taught that that's the gospel. And by the way, it is. But it is only partial in terms of the gospel. Because once you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear, our lives begin to change. That's why in the New Testament, when you read of these early disciples of Jesus, the Bible says the people around them said of them, they are following the way. A new way of living. A new path of behavior. So 1 Corinthians 13 tells us this better way. We began our study by seeing, without love, I say nothing. Verse 1, Doesn't make any difference what I say. People will only believe that I'm a believer in Jesus when they see how I live. Without love, I am nothing. Makes no difference if I'm elected a deacon or a pastor or a new young adult leader. Without love, I am nothing. And without love, I profit nothing. That's verse 3. So love is everything as believers in Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 4, love is described. There are 15 characteristics of real love. We began by looking at how love is patient and kind. Then we saw how love is not jealous. And then the last phrase of verse 4 tells us that love does not brag and is not arrogant about oneself. We saw that last time. We can brag on others, but we're not going to brag about ourselves by saying, I would never do what you just did. That's bragging. I can't believe you did that. I would never be caught dead doing that. That's bragging. Love doesn't do that. Okay? Now we come to our text this morning. It's the beginning of verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 13. And it's just one little phrase that I hope to explain in the next 13, 14 minutes. Love does not act unbecomingly. Now I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. I read from the NASB. But you may not realize that there are two NASBs. There's one that was written prior to 1995, and then there is the NASB 1995. That's the one I read from. And it is the word unbecomingly that translates this Greek word. Love does not act unbecomingly. We don't talk like that anymore, do we? And so I really have been curious as to why the 1995 translators use that word. By the way, the only place that I've seen the word becoming used recently is in Michelle Obama's number one bestseller, her autobiography. It's titled Becoming. You know what the word means? Becoming means suited, fitted, beautiful, appropriate, civil. Now, your translation may use different words. For example, Os Guinness has said that civility is a key not only to civil society, but to civilization itself. Love acts civil. Love is not incivil or uncivil. Your translation may use the word rude. Love is not rude. Love is not disgraceful, is the older NASB. And the King James Version uses the term unseemly. Love is not unseemly. So let's talk about it. What does that mean? Now, folks, this is going to be tough. I'm just going to be candid with you. Because in 2020, we probably had the worst year for people, even among Christians, being rude one to another. It's unconscionable. It's uncalled for. It's not the way we are called to be. And it happens really on both sides of the political spectrum. One party will be rude toward the other, and vice versa. Love does not act rude. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love is civil. Have you ever considered that the root word for civilization is the word civil? You don't have civilization unless you have civil people. Now, here's what's interesting. People are rude and uncivil in general due to the nature and condition of their souls. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. What I mean is, it is natural for people to be rude. It's easy. It just bursts out. It's part of who the human race is as fallen. Yesterday, I drove down to Oklahoma City to do 4 shows with Gwen Faulkner on Oklahoma Gold on behalf of my friend John Dwyer, whose board has asked him to go into sabbatical to finish Oklahomans 2, the book. And so I volunteered to do these shows, 4 tapings. I was coming back home, and Rochelle asked if I would stop and pick up a few groceries at Sam's. I promise you, love is definitely a verb of action. I don't like going to Sam's, but I love my wife. So I got the groceries. I was pulling out. I don't know what I did. I think I might have cut someone off. I really honestly don't know. But this guy's window was down. He called me every name in the book. He gave me a very uncivil hand salute. Now, I was thinking about what we were talking about this morning. It's part of human nature to respond in kind. But to be a follower of Jesus means that I don't act unbecomingly. The Apostle Paul, he says of Christians that your life is a change of behaviors. This is why Christianity is called the way in the New Testament. Paul, in writing to young Titus, said, be peaceable, be gentle, and show every consideration to all men. Now, there was a gentleman who was watching the early service, and Robert Simpson is his name. He's from out of state, and he wrote an excellent question in the comment stream. He said, but Pastor Wade, Jesus called a leader of the Jews a fox. And according to Dr. Keener, who's a Greek scholar, that's not a compliment. Okay? How do you deal with that? It's a great question. And my response is simply this. Jesus also took a whip and cleansed the temple. You're not called to do that. Jesus will judge every man one day because he is the judge of all and he knows character. You don't. He can see through motives. You and I are unable. That's why the scripture says, do not take vengeance on those who wrong you. Leave them to the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is written, it is mine to avenge, says the Lord. I will repay. The reason that you and I are to be civil in our conduct to all and to show consideration even to those who say ugly things about us or to us is because we're not Christ. Now, that's something that I've had to work on really hard. You know, I still work on it. Back in the day when I was under the spotlight and things were being said of me nationally, through the International Mission Board, and I was the only trustee ever removed from any trustee position of any agency for the SBC until the convention could vote on it. I wasn't thinking along these lines. I was thinking about defending, coming out strong. And then I began to see, no, wait a minute. That doesn't change anything. Receive what's coming your way. Be civil about it. Be a becoming person. Be honorable. By the way, that's another translation of this word in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. So I have had to learn when people say things, horrible things about me, just respond with civility. Be a becoming person. Now, I lay the boundary down when it comes to people writing things about other people. Then I will stop that, saying, this is not the place. What you say of me, that's your choice. But this is not the place to be denigrating to others. My point is this. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. Show consideration to all. And then he goes on in the very next verse, and look what he says. For we also were once rude. We also were once insolent. We were once uncouth. Now, I don't know, Todd, that the change happens overnight. But what I do know is this. If I find myself insolent, uncouth, unbecoming, as a follower of Jesus Christ, it is against the character that he is forming in me. It's not who I am. It doesn't represent who God is making me. So the response is to immediately take ownership and seek forgiveness. You're right. You're right. What I said wasn't right. Will you forgive me? You're right. I was rude. Sweetheart, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Laughing or celebrating those things which are rude, a rude lifestyle, is to celebrate the subhuman. The fallen human race is not who we are called to be. We are called to be a race graced. We are called to come to faith in Jesus Christ and to see a change of behaviors. Now, I'm gonna wrap this up by showing you some really cool things that happen when we really take seriously the call of God to not be rude. Christian people, show the world that Christ is Lord by the way we live our lives. That's right. By the way we live our lives, the world sees that Christ is God. And the Bible says, love does not act unbecomingly. That means we do not act rudely. So that we who follow Jesus, when we influence society, it is through the refusal to act rude. There's a gentleman in Enid, not sure he's a Christian. And he has said some really rude and uncouth things about me. Called him to lunch. Had lunch with him. Really enjoyed it. And what I've noticed is that the comments that this person makes are no longer rude. What you find is that you will receive from people the very thing you pour into them. Now, I'll prove this to you from Scripture. Listen to what Jeremiah the prophet said to the people of the Lord. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I carried you into exile, because when it prospers, or if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, I remind you that the Jews were carried into a pagan society, to Babylon. And Jeremiah is simply saying, look, be at peace with your neighbors, even though they don't worship like you, they don't believe like you, they don't hold to the same politics that you do. Seek their peace, seek their prosperity, because when your city prospers, so will you. Our ability to be gracious and avoid rudeness is something that brings a very practical, earthly result. Watch this. The Bible tells us that when you can, because of Christ, change the way you live, and you act becomingly and refuse to act unbecomingly, Peter says, when the day of visitation comes upon the Gentiles, in the Bible, Gentiles is used for those who don't know Christ. When the day of visitation comes upon the Gentiles, they will glorify God because of your behavior. You're an alien and a stranger in this world. You belong to a home where you are headed in heaven. And Edna, watermelon is waiting for you. You're an alien and a stranger here, but until you get there, act becomingly. Don't be rude. And what you'll find is that the people around you in the day of their visitation will give glory to God. You know what that means? That means there's coming a day when Jesus will begin to convict the people you love. That's the day of visitation. And when that begins to happen, they'll start looking for answers. The problem with lost people is that they're not looking for answers. But in the day of visitation, they realize that they're needy and they start looking. And what happens is they remember you. And they glorify God because of your life. And they say, I want to be like John. I want to be like Rochelle. I want to be a Christian. By the way, as I was preparing this message, I told Rochelle this before we came to the auditorium. I said, you know, Rochelle, you really model this for me better than any person I've ever met. You are a becoming person. No matter how people treat you, no matter how difficult things get, you're never rude. You're always civil. You pay attention. You're kind. This is the essence of Christianity. I close with just a caution. Civility can never be lived in a world full of darkness until it is first practiced at home and at church. In other words, I can never be civil on a blog if I'm not civil with my wife at home. I can never be becoming to a city unless I am becoming to a church. Bob, I think it's really crazy. I don't see it here at Emmanuel at all. I think it's crazy how you can have a church business meeting and Christians just fight each other and are rude. I've seen it happen. I've been called to be a moderator to church business meetings like that. And I'm like, no wonder the world thinks Christianity is a joke. And so here's my challenge to you. It's a simple one. Your Christianity is more than just what you say you believe. Your Christianity is how you live. Love does not act unbecomingly. And so if you found yourself this morning being rude and insolent to your spouse, easy solution. Sweetheart, please forgive me. That's not who I am. If you find yourself online getting hurt and getting your feelings hurt, remember, love is not a feeling. You've got to work at it. You've got to grow at it. You've got to move into it. Just delete that comment and come back and say, you know, I was wrong. I don't understand what you're saying, but I appreciate the fact you're saying it. That's civility. And one of these days, maybe, the United States of America will become a better civilization because Christians model what it means to be civil. You say, Pastor, I don't really like this. I would rather punch somebody in the nose. I get it. Let me tell you something. While I was pulling away after I got that very uncouth hand salute yesterday, I felt like punching him in the nose. But that's why love is not an adjective of feelings. It's a verb of action. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word gives us a new path to live, a new way of living. And Lord, may we apply it at home and in church, first of all, and then in society, a society full of uncouthness, full of darkness, full of rudeness. Help us. Help us to be the kind of people that when you visit this land, others will glorify you because they remember the way we behave. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got some refreshments that are in the back. If you're here, if this is your first time at Emmanuel, we are delighted that you've chosen to worship with us. We're just now beginning to get back. We're probably 60 to 65% of what we will be coming up in April. Take those invitations behind you. Invite people to come to church. If you have questions about small groups, our staff will meet you out in the foyer. Our volunteers will answer your questions. And remember these two things as you go. We will meet Wednesday night for all of our activities. Next Sunday is daylight savings time. So if you come to the 7:30 service, bring your flashlight because it's going to be dark. But we're going to spring forward 1 hour next Sunday. And then if you are planning for Easter, we have a favor to ask. We're going to be out of room in this service and the next. If you want a sunrise service, come to the 7:30 service, full choir, full orchestra, correct? Jackson at 7:30, and then we'll be done at 8:30, and you can have your day because there's no small groups, but we're trying to space out the crowds for the three services. That's 1 month from today, April 4th. God bless you. Go to community groups, and we'll see you next Sunday.